I think it's good for democracy.
I'd like to see the greener issues.
The issues would be for the homeless and the farmers.
Well, they've done something, but they haven't done enough.
A few of them need to be turfed out, I think.
Hello, you're very welcome to the Your Politics podcast. I'm Maggie Doyle, and joining me in the studio from our political staff, Paul Cunningham, David Murphy and Sorkin Iriadé, you're all very welcome. So, government formation, we're still talking about it, as is everybody else. Fine Gael, all set to, you know, go into opposition from the get-go, but it would seem Sorka slowly coming around to something a bit more substantial in terms of where they'll be in the next role.
Well, they've been very non-committal up to now. As we know, yesterday or the day before, they had their parliamentary party meeting, and the big news out of that, I suppose, was that they are willing to have this day of exchanging views or exchanging policy matters with Fianna Fáil. But I mean, I spoke to someone from Fianna Fáil about an hour ago, and they still hadn't arranged a date. Fianna Gael were still sort of refusing to name what the delegation would be. They don't know what day it's going to be. They don't know exactly what they are going to be discussing, except it'll be policies, which is pretty vague in itself. And they don't know what's going to come out of it. So it's very non-committal up to now, isn't it?
But something will be happening. But sure, I suppose we thought, didn't we, 2 days ago, that there was a non-committal air about things. And then yesterday we hear that, OK, they will be changing, you know, swapping policies or whatever. So it could be that we hear something today or tomorrow or even early next week that's even a bit more concrete. Like, it seems, is there a bit of momentum or...?
Well, I don't know. I did, having spoken to people in Fine Gael, they're very, very reluctant to do anything or to be involved in this. And someone said to me that it's, you know, most of them are don't want to be involved in the next government, even if it means that there could be an election very soon and that they might lose a handful of seats as a result. They're still saying, well, that would be a better outcome than going into another coalition government and being absolutely slaughtered at the end of that.
Something that I heard from somebody else actually in Fianna Fáil.
Let's name today. Names here. Somebody tell somebody
that,
who
that
says
actually,
something.
That they'd prefer
about
to go into a general election, another general election.
I don't know. Winning the prize of a second general election, getting battered again when you haven't got a bob, and you have to rally the family and friends and say once more into the breach, dear friends. I don't know. My gut feeling is still that it's far more likely, well, maybe not far, it's more likely than not that people will ultimately decide something has to be done. And the word that Micheál Martin used was this idea of sustainability. And that comes from the fact that, in their view, if it is the case that you are going to have this Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, Greens, plus a small number of independents, that this bloc would have to be cohesive. It would have to last, you know, at least 4 years, because they do know the risks of going back into government, just as Sorka outlined, and therefore they know that delivery. They would have to have a 100-day plan announcement, 200 days, 300 days, that they would have to do something really, really big. And they also know that there's these pressures which were distant for a while, and things like Brexit are now hoving into view. And then you've also got strange things like the coronavirus also, where the public is saying, we need something. What are these men and women doing? So that would be my gut feeling. It's based on nothing more than Dúirt Bean Liom go Dúirt Bean Léi. But that would be my sense, that in as much as they don't like it, in as much as they see the risks, it could be far worse to go back out again.
It's funny, we talk about, or we would have, I suppose, throughout the general election campaign, David, events, dear boy, events, you know, that wonderful quote. And actually, it would now appear that events are actually now starting to put the heat under political parties in terms of, as Paul said, the coronavirus, floods in the West, you know, orange wind warnings again for this weekend.
Yeah, I think that this is the period where, you know, you run into a kind of a danger that if you don't have a government and things begin to get difficult, the heat will come on politicians to actually get something done. And then people see, well, there's nobody running the show. Now, it's not quite true to say there's nobody running the show. We do actually have a government. And we saw during the week Simon Harris, the health minister, make the announcement regarding throwing a big question mark over the now cancelled Ireland-Italy rugby match. Having said all of that, if people want to turn around and apportion blame, and we can see how bad the floods are in certain parts of the country, this is not a new thing. This has been going on for an awfully long time. And then today we had the very weird situation where we had a Minister for State, Kevin Boxer-Moran, who has lost his seat, but still technically is a minister, issuing a statement calling on the government to do more in terms of funding to address the flooding situation. So that's a kind of an odd situation, to say the least of it. But can we continue without a government, without politicians being blamed for the slow rate of progress? That's it on the one side. But on the other side, you have this other dynamic that clearly within Fine Gael, they have reservations about going into government. And the problem with that is that if they do go and cobble together a deal with Fianna Fáil and the Greens, they have to put that to the party. What they don't want to see happening is come along with a programme for government after weeks of negotiations, only for it to be voted down. That would be even worse than not going into government and going into a general election, being bounced into a general election by your own party membership.
But with Fine Gael, unlike Fianna Fáil, they do have the weighted system, which does give the parliamentary party and sort of the national executive that bit of heft when it comes to proposing. Whereas Fianna Fáil would be more vulnerable to maybe ex-TDs, to councillors who don't like the idea, maybe someone who wants to launch a leadership campaign for the good of the party, deciding in the middle of the hall, I've suddenly got a rush of blood to the head and I feel that we must do something differently. So it is certainly fraught and it's certainly risky. But when you mentioned Boxer, you didn't mention that he was cited in the middle of a river, assisting people like Vladimir Putin, his bare chest exposed to the sun as he tried to assist the locals. Oh,
yeah. There could be children listening.
Checking out the Twitter pictures. They look great, and he looks like he's working so hard. But you know,
can I just be clear? I haven't seen the picture yet. Are we talking about? Was he topless?
He's topless in his waders.
Why is he topless? It's freezing cold.
Getting all wet in his efforts to help people to get the flood waters out of their houses and so on. He was getting all wet. So I presume that's why he ended up in just the waders. But it's such a pity it didn't happen last month, as somebody said, because it might have helped him to keep his seat.
I take it he's trending on Twitter now. He must be.
He is now.
It's interesting because we've also seen the Green Party, Zorka, have a lot of talks with more or less everybody as well.
Yeah.
And I suppose Eamon Ryan coming out today to say that, look, they're still a bit concerned, I suppose, about the different parties' thoughts on, you know, where they stand actually on climate emergency. And you kind of think, well, surely with a party that quadrupled the numbers of TDs that they've got in the general election, that other parties would be like, okay, we get it, you know, people are concerned about the climate, let's kind of focus if we can on that.
Yeah, they seem to, like, they've spent a day and a half with Fianna Fáil and whatever the 7.5 hours they had with Sinn Féin, and another meeting with Sinn Féin again the following morning, I think. But so they at this stage must have done a thorough trawl of the manifestos and so on. One thing that Eamon Ryan did say on that interview that he did earlier on today, that he is worried about some of the proposals being made by Sinn Féin in terms of, for example, getting rid of the property tax, and that he's saying, well, if we do things like that, that we may not have the money to do other things. And I did an interview earlier today with another Green candidate, Mark O'Cossig, and he was saying as well that, you know, one of the things that they're really focused on is how they're going to get their objectives in there, things like reducing pollution by 7.5% or something, and saying, like, you know, it's all very well for other parties to be willing to agree to these things, but it's the pathway to how do you achieve that is where they might have the difficulties.
Because it's going to cost money.
That's it, exactly. And it seems that they are beginning to focus on that kind of stuff now, and not being so happy with what they're hearing up to now in any case.
Paul, do you think that Eamon Ryan is still, you know, is he still edging towards that sort of grand coalition with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael?
I couldn't actually speak for him. I mean, what they've said is that they haven't. What they've been doing at the moment is identifying all the things that they have in common. Mm. and then and also some of the differences, and that's going to help them in the next week, and that they're engaging with Sinn Féin and with Fianna Fáil. What he does say in context with Sinn Féin is he talks about how he doesn't see how, while they give an overview of wanting to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, that he doesn't see either the method or an allocation of finance to ensure that the goal is going to be achieved. The Green Party has been pretty clear in that, that it needs to see how it is going to be done, because when it comes back to these selling deals to membership, they've got quite a high bar. So insofar as the Green Party has said they do want to be a party of government, they do want to implement their policies, and so people are automatically nearly putting them as the mudguard onto some form of coalition, they still have to be able to show to their members that they're achieving their goals. And I think it is a two-thirds majority they need to get at conference. So that ain't easy, particularly when they were burnt, eviscerated, destroyed back in 2011.
Well, I suppose there, you know, we mentioned about, you know, maybe the Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil members thinking, oh, sure, look, we'll go for an election again. Where would a party like the Greens stand if it was to be, if they go into opposition again, or B, they go for another election?
Well, I think in opposition, they'd probably do quite well, really, because they can speak about the climate agenda. They can point at shortcomings with any government in terms of what they're doing and what they should be doing. And we can see how well they've done in this election as a result, perhaps, of the concern about climate and the fact that they were in opposition. But I think the other thing we've got to bear in mind about the Greens is that they've quite a disparate membership and they can seize on certain ideas. We saw this in 2011 when the Greens railed against the idea of NAMA, and there was a party within a party, to, so to speak, called the Greens Against NAMA, or GAN, or GAN, if you really knew what you were talking about. Anyway, the GAN people were voicing significant reservations about going into government. And the issue was, I think, at the time, their concerns about NAMA. So question is, will they be happy with whatever is proposed in terms of a programme for government? And I think that's going to be a very big issue. But I think more broadly, we've yet to see really the proper negotiations happen. If it is going to be Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, Green, so far we've seen bits and pieces of negotiations so far, and there's been little bits of speculation about a rent freeze. Maybe there will be, maybe there won't be, about the constitutionality of that. I think after St. Patrick's Day, we're going to see the real deal, the real negotiations happen.
True, but I think that would be, to a certain extent, downplaying. Like the Greens and Fianna Fáil, they were in between 9:30 and 5 p.m. yesterday, 9:30, 5 p.m. today. The Fianna Fáil team was 15 people. And when it was put to someone within Fianna Fáil, you know, is this still exploratory? They said, no, it's gone beyond that. So they do seem to be getting down towards, you know, some of the detail and what might be compatible, what could form the basis of discussions. As you say, it's not discussions, but, or negotiations, but. Whereas it's in tone when the Greens talk about Sinn Féin, it's more about the more significant problems. We don't see how you're going to achieve what you say you want to do. So there's a nuance there which seems to be more focused towards Fianna Fáil.
Yeah, I think it was interesting listening to Eamon Ryan on the News at One when he was questioning where the money would come from to make up for the reductions in terms of revenue as a result of reducing or abolishing certain taxes. And for Sinn Féin now, it will be up to them to clarify the answers to those questions in order to get the Green Party on board. And obviously Sinn Féin is trying to stick with the idea of building some sort of government without the help of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, which clearly they're unhappy about. At the same time, we're seeing their rallies, really large party meetings going on. We've had three of them this week, one in Newry last night. We've had one in Cork and one in Liberty Hall in Dublin. There was a great shot. I know Paul's been looking at the social media footprint of Sinn Féin, but there were some great pictures of Piers Doherty speaking to the masses who they had to turn away because they didn't actually have the seats for them in Liberty Hall.
It is like they are still in campaign mode, and you would wonder when they decided to do these rallies, these big rallies outside, well, one in Dublin but around the country as well, you know, were they thinking, is the thinking kind of ultimately in the back of the heads, well, we kind of know that we're not going to get this left government that we want. So we are now putting in the foundation for the base where we will be the opposition, the main opposition.
From people I've talked to who have been in those scoping negotiations with Sinn Féin, they have no doubt in their mind that the party leadership is absolutely dead focused on going into government, that they are absolutely serious in their intent, that this is absolutely what they want to do.
But isn't that a great position to be in if they don't then go in, because they go back then to their membership and say, look, we tried all we could.
Absolutely. And that's why at the same time, they're not only sort of engaging significantly, they're also continuing to engage with the electorate as well through those public meetings that we mentioned.
And social media. Yeah, tell us a little bit about this, because you've been looking to see how much they've been spending on Facebook ads in particular.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't any great investigative work. Anyone can do it. You can go on to Ad Library and Facebook and find out what the parties are spending.
But he's so modest, isn't he?
But it was interesting just to see, like, Fine Gael spent in the past 7 days €0. Green Party, zero. Soc Dems, zero. Aintu, zero. Labour Party, zero. If you look at the People Before Profit, 163, modest amount. Mm. Fianna Fáil, 506. But Sinn Féin, 2,060.
Wow.
So they're outspending Fianna Fáil four times. But what they're also doing is interesting is that they're continuing to engage with the public. They're continuing to engage and explain themselves. The videos where Piers Doherty and Owen O'Brien, the most recent ones, once again talking about those cost of living issues, which has so exercised the electorate and clearly has worked so well. And so, as you say, if it is the case that the default mechanism is a general election, they're reinforcing that message. We're deadly serious about what we want to do. We are trying our best to do it. We're explaining ourselves to you about what we are doing. So the fourth leg in that stool would be, and then if it doesn't all work out, well, it's got nothing to do with us because we were there.
Mm. Yeah, putting in the basis for what comes next for them, I suppose.
Yeah, but I suppose it makes sense. I mean, obviously they got such a great vote in the elections that it makes sense to try and keep their voters engaged and to try and keep in touch with them. And I thought it was interesting that Eamon Ryan has said that the Green Party are going to have meetings all over the country as well, and that he was sort of giving out about the main parties who had been dissing the Sinn Féin rallies and saying this is what we should all be doing, trying to engage our supporters. And it makes such sense from Sinn Féin's point of view. You know, why would you not try and keep your voters engaged and even bring them on board with you to try and get them into, you know, canvassing teams for the next general election.
And it's interesting because straight after the election, we were talking about this the other day, that the membership for Sinn Féin went up as well. So that's not right. Only were they reaching out, they were also obviously bringing in new members.
You know, Piers Doherty was making that point yesterday at a doorstep they did on the plinth, saying they've got like 3,000 new members with another 4,000 behind that ready to be signed up. So it's really
these are the people
working.
They don't have seats for. Is it kind of like a bit like Liberty Hall? Again, yeah. They're queuing.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be standing room only.
It's amazing.
And once again, it comes back to that any of those new members are entitled to go to an Ardèche, and it's at an Ardèche that any programme for government will be passed.
Well, exactly. And look at how important it is, and it is to be, I suppose, a member of a political party. It's very interesting because I'm sure there's an awful lot of the general public that are probably a bit apathetic now at this point. You know, after the election, the vote has happened, still no government.
Sure. I think it's worth bearing in mind, you know, political parties rise and fall to a certain extent. And it's worth bearing in mind as well that in 2011, the Labour Party had 37 seats and it now has 6 seats. Sinn Féin now has 37 seats. I'm not saying it's going to fall to 6 seats, but you do...
I was waiting for that next sentence. And I predict...
They do oscillate. But just back to that issue of the rallies, I think there was a Fine Gael public relations misfire on this when they... criticised the idea of these rallies. And in reality, what were they? They were a political party meeting the members. And political parties
and
meet
beyond.
The members quite frequently.
Mm. But beyond, because this was a real... Because, you know, I don't know what the numbers are like. You say there's 3,000 last week and 4... But, you know, look at the numbers of people who voted for Sinn Féin. They weren't just reaching out to members, I think, with these rallies. Mm. They were reaching out to the people who'd voted for them,
exactly.
Who hadn't voted for them before, let's be honest, you know.
And but should Fine Gael have criticised that? As a result
I think
of that criticism...
It's sort of trigger-happy, I think. You're absolutely right.
Well, it gave a lot of oxygen to these rallies. Mm. There's a lot of interest in, hey, you know, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar Parker does not want this thing to take place, maybe I might have a look and see what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. And they are quite prevalent on social media. You know, the they're kind of called,
they're slick. Yeah.
Shinner bots, I think, is one term for some people who get onto Twitter and just sort of are quick.
I mean, I don't think you go to sort of Twitter to look for sort of a general conversation.
No, exactly.
Going to pre-say thing,
but it's very quick to kind of, you know, get a bit of traction as well.
It does, but it is, if you look even, and I'll stop then, but just on that issue of Facebook, what they're particularly good at is the sharing. They'll get a short video from someone like Piers Doherty to talk about something like insurance and insurance, how people are paying too much, and off it goes, you know, and they don't oversell it. They do it the right amount of time. And then they've got a system in place to amplify that message.
It's a reflection as well, though, I suppose, of the kind of age profile of the people that are supporting Sinn Féin. And if I were a member of Fianna Fáil in particular, I'd be very worried about that, what those exit polls showed about that. The younger voters are the people supporting Sinn Féin, and the older voters generally are the people supporting Fianna Fáil and, to a lesser extent, Fine Gael. So I suppose the fact that they're so active on social media and so on is a reflection of that age.
But they seem to, like, you know, parties like Fianna Fáil do seem to spend the money. The question is how effective it is in comparison to other parties. And that is a big question.
Yeah.
OK, well, that's it for now, folks. If you enjoy the podcast, thank you very much for listening. You can subscribe and you can leave a review to tell us how amazing it was or how not amazing it was. Otherwise we delete them. Thank you very much from me, Maggie Doyle, David Murphy, Paul Cunningham and Sorkin Irita. Thanks for listening, and tune in again the next time.